since the month of January, we began a journey into the book of Romans, as written by Apostle Paul. We have looked at various topics, finding rest in a stressful world. What's so amazing about grace? Abandon in grace. I've been really blessed. And more so that in school, we are dealing with the writings of Apostle Paul. So combining the two, it makes his writing much easier for me to understand. And this morning, the theme is mystery. If God is sovereign, what is our role? If God is sovereign, what is our role? Apostle Paul began Romans 10 with this verse. It says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." I can change that around and say, "Brothers and sisters, my heart desire and prayer to God is for the world to be saved." As many as we hear in this church and those watching from home, can we really say you are saved? The reason is, if we read what Apostle Paul said, the Israelites have based their own salvation on works. They believe so much in activities. Just as we have it today, we practice more of churchianity. But is Christianity transferred by DNA or by birth or by virtue of your nationality or because, let's say, you were born in the church? No. Apostle Paul stated this in verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It means salvation is an individual action that is needed to be taken. And let's reverse the way Apostle Paul wrote it. He said, believe in your heart. If you declare with your mouth and then believe in your heart. How do you believe in your heart? It is by receiving the word of God. You hear the word of God, your heart agrees with it, it comes into you, and then just the same way we have whenever we have baptism here, people coming out to say, I was like this before, but this is how I met God. Apostle Paul had his own story. He was on the way to Damascus, highly zealous. He thought he was zealous for God. Just as many of us seated here, we think because you are highly active in church, you are saved. Or because you are called pastor this or reverend that, or because you are a deacon, you are saved. We are much more full of activities. And Apostle Paul is telling us the only way out is receiving God into your heart and declaring it with your mouth that, yes, he died for me. We cannot get salvation by works. In fact, James 2:10, James chapter 2 verse 10, he says, for whoever shall keep the old law and yet stumble in one is guilty of all. So there is no 9 over 10. There is no 9 and a half over 10. So how then do we therefore want to keep to activities, to works, rather than receiving that grace, what Jesus has done for us, for you and for me, the death on the cross. The death on the cross. He died for you. But the issue again is salvation as given by Jesus Christ is too good to be true. I have done this. I have murdered. I have done this. I have done that. And then you have told me I don't need to do any sacrifice. I don't need to pay this. All I need to do is just to confess and agree. It's too good to be true. Because God did not attach any condition. He didn't tell you you have to pray 5 times. He didn't tell you you have to visit a particular place. There are no conditions attached to our salvation. All we need is to freely accept the offer which Christ has given us. But at times, we say it by our mouth, but our heart is far away. And therefore, in order to cover, what then do we do? We are highly active. Let us remember what Apostle Paul has said. Can you still remember the day you gave your life to Christ? I remember mine very well in 1982. When they were singing that song written by Charlotte Elliot, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou didst bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And the verse 4 says, just as I am, thou will receive. It doesn't matter what your past is. We welcome pardon, cleanse, relief. Because thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Do you still remember the day you gave your life to Christ? Do you remember the day you said, I surrender all? Since that day till now, have you surrendered all? Or you surrendered partially? 50%? 60? 70? What God requires of you is complete surrender. Complete surrender. We're going to do a very good exercise because I want to move to the next verse. Our time is fast going. And this exercise, let's be in pairs. Okay? I want us to be in pairs very soon. Let's first of all read verses 14 to 15. It says, how then can they call or warn? They have not believed. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The question is, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? So you think, if anyone reads, that verse is for the pastors, for the likes of Ian Bones, Vicky Bones, Jan, Andy. They are the ones who have gone to Spurgeon's College or wherever. And they are pastors. That is their work. But is that really their work? Who are those this verse referring to? Let us read Matthew 28. AV, please, let's put Matthew 28, just 16 to 17. Matthew 28, 16 to 17. I'll read. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. 11 disciples. At this time, Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus. So only 11 left. So they went to meet him, where he had them at the meeting point. So the question is, who is a disciple? A disciple is simply a follower of Jesus Christ. So, talk to somebody, just let's be in two. Just ask the person, I will take it in turns. Ask the person, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And take turns. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Just take turns. Ask. Yes. Okay, did anyone say no? Did anyone answer by saying, no, I am not? So I want to believe we are all followers of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go now to 18 to 20, please, Evie. Now, let's leave. Then Jesus came to them. Remember, 16, 17, Jesus went to meet disciples. And in 18, he said, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Who is Jesus referring to there? Who is Jesus asking to go? Everybody's quiet. Oh, Ian Bones. Vicky. All of us. So we are all disciples, right? So Jesus is asking every one of us to go. To go and do what? Talk to me. To go and do what? Okay. What is the next thing? Baptizing. And teaching. So when Paul now said, how can they? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Paul is saying, we need to go. If we are truly disciples of Christ. But unfortunately, are we obeying that great commission? Do you know why we are not obeying? Because the first witness is your life. Is your life advertising Jesus? Or we are only Christians on Sundays between 10:30 and 12. After that, is your life advertising Jesus? Your work colleagues, your students, your neighbors. That's even too far away. Your family members. Is your life advertising Jesus? Can they see something in you and say you are a Christian? You are a disciple of Christ. There is this song by B.B. McKinney. It says, let others see Jesus in you. And verse 2 of that song, it says, your life is a book before their eyes. They are reading it through and through. Say, does it point to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? Do people see Jesus in our life? You know, many a times it's, do what I say, don't do what I do. But Apostle Paul didn't say that. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be different. Verse 4 of that song says, then live for Christ both day and night. Be faithful, be brave and true, and lead the lost to life and light. Let others see Jesus in you. We are supposed to be the light in the dark world. But instead of the world to copy us, what are we doing? We are copying the world. Do you think God is happy with us, our generation? I did church history, and I read about Charles Spurgeon, Richard Baxter, Bossa, name them. How? They were witnessing. But our generation is nothing but armchair Christianity. All we run after is Pants Stalin. But the question is, if God comes today, are you going to take Pants Stalin to him? Look at the world the way it is. Whose fault is it? Our fault, your fault, my fault. Because we sit in church. We are not brave enough. We are not true to ourselves to challenge the norms. Let the truth be said. If Christ were to remain in heaven and said, no, oh, this is my comfort zone, would there have been salvation? Would there have been salvation? Look at what the world is turning into. But our Christianity, most of the times, is within the walls of Runford Baptist Church here. Are we praying for the world? Are we going out? Past generations maintained Jesus Christ. What is our generation going to hand over to the next generation? I hope they won't curse us, because we have left them. I'm sure many people will not like what I'm saying, but that is the truth. In school, we were talking about pastoral care, prison chaplaincy, and they mentioned the needs, people out there in the prison. But do you know what? The Muslims are going there, talking to those people, and that's why you find them, they go, as they come back, they turn to Muslims. So people are in the hospital, they do not even have anyone to talk to. How can they hear the gospel if no one preaches to them? And yet we want the world to be changed. We have just sung the song, Jesus shall reign, thy kingdom come. And yet, the kingdom is just for our, for your family? No. Now. Now. The world is not changing because of you, because of me. We have failed to perform the duty, the great commission, which Jesus has asked us to do. I'm going to finish with another song by Charles Luther, written in 1877. It says, must I go and empty-handed, thus my Redeemer made. Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. And verse 4 says, O ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and walk, while yet it is day, and the night of death overtake thee. Strive for souls while you still may. We are blessed because the former missions and evangelism director of Baptist Union of Great Britain is our pastor. When we talk of missions and evangelism, he knows so much. But can he do it alone? Can he pastor here, go to the Parkside? He only has two hands and two legs. God needs you. Will you be God's voices? Will you be God's hands? Will you be God's feet to go out there into the world? Let us wake up from our slumber. The world will not change except we are ready to go out. Opportunities abound. Morning service, ask Alison. Oh, okay, she's there. Some people walk in here. Some are in desperate need of Jesus. If you have that time, why not talk to them? The theme for this year is beyond imagination. Can you imagine how God can use you? And you know, If one life comes to Christ, there is party in heaven, celebration in heaven. If you meet your God today, what will you tell him? If you meet God today, what will you tell him? Let us pray. I just want you to reflect very briefly on what you've heard. Are you still a Christian, or you are deviated? Are you still a disciple of Christ, or you are just a disciple by words of your mouth? You can rededicate your life to Christ today. Or you have been a Christian, but there is someone in your household, in your family, it could be even extended family, that you know is not yet a Christian, and you want to pray for the person. You can stand up as we pray together. As we pray to ask God to begin to touch the person's life. You can stand in the gap. And I also want us to stand in the gap for our world, asking God, we are sorry. We are sorry indeed. You've given us a task to do, but we have not been very serious with it. God, help me. Help me. Lead me to souls. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, lead me to souls that are ready for harvest. And let my life showcase you. Let my life advertise you. Let my walk advertise you. Almighty God, we are indeed very sorry. But Lord, we have heard your word this morning. You have said that we are the light of the world, a candle that has been lighted cannot be put under the table, but rather on the table. Help us, O Lord, to be the light in the dark world. Help us to give us the spirit to be brave, to talk about you, about your goodness to others. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.